Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
All right. Tuned in to the Justice Chicago Radio Show with Clifton Pierce. Welcome to the show, Clifton. This is Candace, a.k.a. Kame Lucci, Axe International Artist and the Nick Cannon Media Network Group. And we are proud to announce and host and sponsor Clifton's show called Justice Chicago Neighborhood Talk. Here he comes.
Okay. Hello. Candace, how are you
yes.
today?
I'm yes, doing well. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Yes.
What time is it where you're at?
Here? You know, we're out here on the East Coast. It's 7 o'clock. Well, yeah, it's 7:07 to be exact. Out here in Miami, Florida.
Okay, what's the weather like where you're at?
I tell you, the weather is really nice. It is,
okay.
I want to say about maybe 80 degrees. The wind is blowing. The sun was out. And the harvest has come. The harvest is here.
Okay,
but I can't
all right.
say.
So that's what's going on, huh?
That
okay.
is what's going
hey, listen,
on.
Listen, I'd like
here,
to say
harvest.
Welcome to everybody that's listening in with us. My name is Clifton Pierce. I'm coming out of Chicago again, and we talk about this thing called Chicago, where something is always going on. That's why I chose the number, what's going on, you know. We got some more things going on in the city. One of the things that I really want people to know that Chicago is a great city, irregardless of what you may hear about our city on the news and then all the different stations and everything. But in actuality, we are one beautiful city. But I'm going to tell you something. Years ago, I did a concert in Mobile, Alabama. I had two live crew, MC Hammer, Heavy D and the Boys, EU. And after the concert, we was all sitting up in the hotel room, and all they wanted to know about was Chicago. Okay, at the time, they was all kids, and they were all sitting on the floor, and I'm sitting on a desk. I guess I'm an OG then, too. But they all wanted to know about Chicago, and they really wanted to know was how are we able to keep our city separate like that? Integration had not really hit city of Chicago, and we're talking about 20, 30 some years ago. And if you recall, Dr. Martin Luther King said that he had traveled all over the world and he had not seen the prejudice and the hatred that he saw in the eyes of these people here in Chicago when it pertaining to black people. But as it turns out, we're making progress. Chicago is a city of opportunity. If you're black, you can make it here. You can open up your own business. You can buy real estate. There's a lot of things in Chicago that's available for blacks. We have one of our first black mayors was Harold Washington. Come right off the sidewalk. One fantastic speaker and motivator. And getting to Joe Biden now, I don't understand how he can be running for president, and we're less than 50 days out from the presidency, and Joe Biden does not have an office here in Chicago. Okay? Sir, do not take these black voters in Chicago for granted. Okay? You're not running against Donald Trump. I'm going to keep preaching this. You're not running against Donald Trump. You're running against voter apathy. You let one snowflake fall. Okay? You let one raindrop fall. These people are not going to get up, oh, man, them people going to do what they want to do anyway. They ain't going to bother to vote. Okay, one of the things about Harold went to the project, and he hollered to him, who y'all want? And they said, here, we want you, Harold, and he got him. I don't care if you was a baby in a stroller. I don't care if you was 100 years old in a nursing home. Everybody had a Harold Washington button. People are not talking about Joe Biden like that, okay? He doesn't have that motivating factor right now. And according to the polls, he's way out there. But we also got to remember that it is not the electoral vote that gets you in the presidency. It's not the popular vote. It's the electoral vote. So that's what he got to do, is make sure that he gets the electoral vote. So I'm just saying that they need to take the playbook from Harold Washington about how to get a ground root group going on as far as his promotion is concerned. And again, they have no office here in the city, and I find that to be very strange. Candace, have we got any callers today?
You know what? It's a little early. We do. We actually have a call in of.
Let me talk to them for a minute.
Yeah. Well, they're here.
Okay,
we got two callers on the show. Go ahead. Go ahead and talk. They have to.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just until we get that together and the callers and stuff, they get, you know, a little bit more comfortable with pressing the one on the downtone phone so they can speak, then I just wanted to second what you said. It is going to be a 1%, you know, election. It's going to come down to 1% as to how close the race is going to be. And you're absolutely right about, you know, voter apathy and about voter suppression, which has been going on since 1964, which is, you know, why they created the Voters Act of 1964, which they had to amend. And then it was finally amended with Holder versus that famous Holder. But anyway, it is a serious situation, as you can see with the post office and what's going on, you know, what Donald Trump is doing with the postal services. So I really agree that Biden, whoever else wants to win the presidency, should be in Chicago. It should definitely have a place in Chicago. You would think they would be in Chicago, and that's something that you can rally for and write and truly, you know, try to make happen. Maybe you can start it. Start your own.
Well,
listen,
let me tell you something. We have a Democratic mayor who happens to be a woman, who also happens to be gay. We have a black Cook County Board President, Black Teachers Association, black in Chicago. All these women are holding these powerful positions in Chicago in the Democratic organization. Then on top of that, we got Mike Madigan, who's one of the strongest political candidates out here, period. And there's nobody saying anything about Joe Biden. Sometimes I'm wondering if they really want to win or not. You know, what's the real deal about this situation, you know? So I'm waiting to see. Another thing is that this man going to pull out every trick in the book as far as getting elected again. And that's one of the reasons why I have spoken to several people that work at the post office. And to a large degree, they're doing everything they can to slow down this voter situation. With mail-in voting is going to start in a couple of weeks. And I advise everybody to do an early voting and get that over with, even to the point where I'm personally going to rent me a van, a passenger van, and I'm going to go around to all the senior buildings and make sure that these people have a ride to the voting polls, you know, because don't vote. You got to get out and choke. Don't choke. Get out and vote, ladies and gentlemen. That's something that these people have not been motivated to the point where they want to do that, you know.
You got to take in consideration the times that we're living in, Clifton, with the pandemic. And I think a lot of people are just not that comfortable yet as far as all that. Mm-hmm. They've been living in, you know, the message of fear for almost the entire since February. So I think slowly but surely, once we get the message out to the public that there is a safe way to practice social distancing while you are voting, you know what I mean, socially and distancing. So there is a dance and an art to it where you can definitely get out there and participate and make sure your votes are counted. And there should be some type of law specifically in your state. And I know there are laws here in Miami and in Georgia that protects absentee ballot, you know, votes should they come in after the election. So that's something also, I mean, we should take into account. And just, I think it just comes with knowledge and conversation, like what we're doing right now, and getting the word out there to the community and encouraging people to go out and vote. Because we definitely want to get this world back on track, because it's been off the rails for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, everybody got lip service, okay, but when it comes time, where are they? Okay, and that's the way I feel about that. But one of the things I had thought about myself was that every block in a city get a particular captain for that particular block, and everybody get a mail-in vote. Okay, they sign out, they fill out the application, then that one particular person goes to that household, picks it up, and takes it to the election board. Each neighborhood has a captain on the block to take out all the ballots to the people's homes, pick them back up, and then take them to the polling place. That way you know you voted and you ain't got to stand in line the whole 9 yards. That's one of the things that I'm thinking in terms of, you know.
And for the people that are just tuning in to the show and just quite don't understand why you have so much passion for politics, could you give a little backstory, a biography of who you are and what led you to this point in your life to advocate for your community?
Well, first of all, being a Southern born boy, even though I was raised here in Chicago, you never lose your Southern roots. And my thing is that I did 40 years of running nightclubs, producing concerts. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I had a dog that I taught how to sit and how to roll over. And I used to charge the kids a nickel to come in my yard and watch me make my dog roll over. So I've been hustling all my life. And then I ran some of the top nightclubs in the city while I was here. Fortunately for me, clubs like Sweet Georgia Brown, the Dayton Game, 50-yard line I've been involved with, I guess numerous of clubs and everything. So I've always had a passion for people. And look, fortunate for me, say like in place of Sweet Georgia Brown, I ran that club. That's Lisa Ray, the actress. That's her daddy's club, and I worked for him. And you got 400-500 people in there. You learn how to handle people. You know, you got to learn how to read body language and things like that. If a guy got on a coat and it's July, something in that coat, then ain't supposed to be in it, okay? And if you do come in there and his coat hanging to one side, he's got a bottle or a pistol. So you got to be the one to go up there and talk to him and say, hey, man, you got to get that out of here. The police is not, react to a situation. You have no idea how many guns and knives I've had to walk up on down through the years. So you have to use diplomacy with that. Okay, because they know where you at every day. So you got to learn how to use diplomacy. You got to read body language, the whole 9 yards. Along with the fact that I just always had a passion for my people and everything. And even Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for him, you ain't black. Well, I ain't basing it on that. But the bottom line, again, I just have had a passion for people. And I've seen how things could be. Fortunately for me, I was out here in the 69 and 70 when Chicago and the South Side in particular were just booming. You could fall down on the sidewalk and some money would stick to your hand. And now I'm looking at all these places that are boarded up that the people, what's happening here is that everybody's telling our kids to go to college. I don't really preach about going to college. I preach about teaching them a trade. Okay, teach them how to be carpenters and electricians and plumbers. One of the things I did by being a concert promoter, I used to ask young people, which one would you rather be, Dick Clark or James Brown? Well, most of them would say James Brown because they saw James singing and they know he was getting paid. But if Dick Clark got Aretha Franklin, James Brown, and Ray Charles all on one show, how much money is he making if he's able to pay all of them? So my thing here is that be the concert promoter. Don't be the performer if you can help it, you know. So I'm traveling on that level there again. And the whole point I'm trying to say is it's so important for us to be self-sufficient. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, be self-sufficient. Shakespeare even said, to thy own self be true. You know, take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. But how? And you're going to tell me to pull myself up from a bootstrap when I don't have no boots on. Okay, how can I tell these young people to throw away these guns they got in their hand if I don't have a job to put in their hand, if I don't have the training that's necessary to put a job in their hand? So these are some of the things that I'm advocating for I get out of here. You know, the Lord and the streets of Chicago have been real good to me, so I got a debt to pay. And, you know, it's all part of me trying to pay this debt that I got, you know. I come out the game, and one of the things we were taught that if you be true to the game will be true to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many people connect with you like that.
I know a lot of people. I got to say that. I know a lot of people. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about, too, is that we just lost a guy here, Mark Allen. He was an activist in the community. Mark had been busy ever since he was a kid. And we just lost him the other day here, found him slumped over on his desk, dead, just like that, a heart attack. And I'm just saying, you know, even through my life, if I bought a pair of shoes, believe me, I had them on that night. And the point I'm trying to say, I know so many people who say, man, when I retire, I'm going to do this. Man, and listen, 5 minutes after retiring, they dead. If I bought me a suit that morning, I bet you got it on that evening. So you can't put in layaway and say, I'm going to do this later on. Do it now. So I'm just saying, while I'm here, while I have the strength that I have, I'm going to do everything I can to help my community economically. You know, economically. And another thing, I'm going to say this here to some of our black women out there. Listen, you can be a great mother. You can be a great provider. But a boy needs a man in his life. You know, and I'm asking my black women that don't be mad at your boyfriend or the father of your child because of he didn't get your hair done or your nails wasn't right or whatever. Let that man be in the life of his son because it's important for boys to have a man in their life, you know. And that's another thing that I advocate. I don't care if he's a drunk. Go out there on the steps and pick him up and bring him in the house because that's authority. A male has authority, and we need to reteach our boys how to how to be a man, you know. So therefore, I'm going to always try to present myself in a manner that when somebody's always looking at you. So I always try to carry myself like somebody to be looked at, you know. You young boys, pull your pants up, You know, that's really a gay type mentality as far as I'm concerned. So pull your pants up. So that's where I'm at with that. But, you know, also I want to talk about this entertainment thing because I have here with me Chris Arnold, okay? Chris, I'm going to let Chris tell you the whole story about him, and then I'm going to come back at you myself.
All right. Okay. Hello. How are you?
Hi, good evening. This is Candace. You're tuned in to the Justice Chicago Show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Candace. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago today. And,
so what's going on?
Cliff called me and asked me to give some history on Temptations. I'm a member of Dennis Edwards' Temptations Review. And as you know, we lost Dennis 2 years ago. But I was with Dennis from 1992 up until his death, so about approximately 28, 30 years. And we've traveled all over the country. Give you a little history. Dennis and David and Eddie Kendricks, when they left the Temptations, they formed Edwards Kendrick and Ruffin group. And they traveled all over the country and made money, just those three. And as you know, we lost David first, excuse me, then we lost Eddie, and then we lost Dennis. And I was singing with Dennis. We, like I said, we travel all over the world. We are known. We still are together, even though we lost him. We are known today as the Dennis Edwards Temptations Review. And I knew Cliff from the earlier days in the 70s. And Cliff, we all had a talent agency here in Chicago at that time. It was called Cream Talent. I'm speaking of 1970, 71. And it was financed by Muhammad Ali at that time, because, you know, he's from Chicago. So Ali, we did, we used to do shows and stuff, and talent agency had singers, which was us. We were a singing group, five guys, and they had models, and they would put on shows, and actors and actresses. So a young lady, one of the models, hadn't seen her since the 70s. And I'm going up until 1992 now. We were over my mother-in-law's at a barbecue. And I ran into this young lady. Her name was Consuela. God bless her soul. She's gone now. And she looked at me. I looked at her. I said, "Oh, Consuela." She said, "Oh, Chris." I hadn't seen her since the 70s. And she was a good friend of Eddie Kendricks at this time. Now, this was in 92. And she was telling me that they need Eddie and Dennis were still singing together. She was telling me they need a replacement for Ed because she remembered me from the singing group. And I said, "Oh, who, me? Oh, no way. Not on that scale. We were singing here around in the city, you know, but on a bigger scale like that, no, never, no. Not even leaving the city, we didn't at that time." So she said, "Oh, you can do it. She convinced me. And there was a guy, he's still here, his name was Tunis Wilson. He was the manager of Dennis Edwards and Eddie Kennedy group. And Consuela, my wife's cousin, she said, "Well, send him a tape." So I was with the church choir, and I was leading a song with the church choir. So I sent that tape to the manager, and the rest is history. And it was a great thing because I was able to travel. We've been all over the world. Not bragging, but we've been all over the world. We've been to all continents, and it's been a lot of fun. And I learned a lot about the music industry. Because as Dennis Edwards always said, it's a compound word. You show business, show and business. And you need to know exactly about a little bit about, you know, you got the show part, but you need to know a little bit about the business part also. So it was a learning experience for me. And today I am grateful to the young lady, my wife's cousin, Consuela. I'm grateful to Tunis Wilson, the manager. I'm grateful to Dennis Edwards because, as you know, there's many singers out here. I know there was many guys that are better than me. I'm not the best out here. But I was blessed. They picked me, and I was blessed. And that was one of the greatest things in my life. It happened to me, and I will never forget it.
Well, tell me about the award. Is it how you get paid?
We put out some albums. We've done a gospel album with Dennis, and we got royalties. But as you know, there comes the business part again. And we had managers that didn't do the right thing. Put it that way. They didn't do the right thing. Now we're still fighting to try and get our royalties on some of the stuff that we put out with Dennis. But Dennis always said, "Well, you know, nobody wins but the lawyers." So you know, they prolong it here, prolong it there, and but it's still in the process. So that's another story. So. And Cliff was asking me about some of the things that we did as the Temptations, and we would go different places, and how Dennis was. He was my boss, and a lot of people don't know Dennis was a real nice guy. He was a gentle giant. He was a big guy, and he was like 6'1", 6'2", 6'2", and he would always oblige people. We would be at the airport waiting on a flight, or just getting off a flight, waiting on our luggage or whatever, at a restaurant eating or whatever, and people would always, "Oh, that's Dennis Edwards. They would always walk up to us and want to take pictures and sign autographs. And speaking of signing autographs, especially over in Europe, they would bring 10, 15 albums from when Dennis was with the Temps an album when Dennis did some stuff by himself and some of the albums that we did with Dennis. And they would want us to sign it. And what they would do, when we signed, so they got an autograph on it, they would go sell it. But, you know, that's like just something you can't control. But I'm just saying, he would always oblige people. He was just a nice guy, a real nice guy. And all this negative stuff about his wife, and, you know, that's untrue. She wouldn't hurt a fly. But that's still in court, too. But she's a very nice, she's still living in St. Louis, suburb of St. Louis. She's a very nice lady. And she still has the group today. She wants to carry on Dennis Edwards' legacy. So, and I miss him. I really do miss him. He's my boss, especially around Christmas time. We would, you know, as you know, Silent Night. That's the number one soul Christmas song in the world, played all over the world. And Dennis going to lead on it. Whenever we would start that song at a concert, and we would start singing it right after Thanksgiving. And we would stop singing it right after New Year's. And the band would start the song, and the people knew what it was right there. I've seen ladies cry in the audience on their phone. And Dennis would jump off on, in my mind, when he do that, oh my God. And I had to, it would affect me because, and I'm performing the song, I would have to shake my head and say, okay, all right, you're entertaining now. You can't get off, and you know, because it would move you. It would move you, you know. And he would break off into that in my mind, and then we would, and with the harmony, and we would break off into that. Oh my God. Oh my God. The audience would go crazy. That's one of the best times that I would have working singing, because that song would always touch me. And I hear it today, and I still am not naturally, and I just go back thinking about Dennis, you know. And I wish he was still here, but God knows what's best for all of us. And so we had a wonderful, it was a wonderful run. From 92 up until we lost him 2018. I had a good run, I can say. And a wife loved it, so you know, we would do maybe 15 gigs a month. Sometimes 20 gigs a month. We were moving, always going. And I get the check and bring it home. She give me my $5 allowance, and I go back out again. But it was a lot of fun. And I took Eddie Kendrick's spot. So, and that was enjoyable. And I remember the first show that I did with the group, the very first show was at the Alabama Theater in Birmingham, Alabama. And I had never done anything on that scale. Like I said, just local stuff here in Chicago. And they threw me out there on the stage and said, go on out there. I had on tuxedo with all the other guys. And Eddie Kendrick's mother, God bless her soul, she's gone. His father, God bless his soul, he's gone now. His sister and a couple of his brothers were in the audience, front row seats. And I had to go up there and do, we were doing all the Temptation stuff, and I had to do Eddie Kendrick's stuff on Just My Imagination. Oh my God, I was so nervous. We were doing a song, and I was like, "Just my imagination." I was shaking. But that was a learning experience. And then after the show, Eddie Kendrick's mother, she came up. She was so nice. She came up to me and, "Boy, you know you sang Eddie's song." I said, "Oh man, thank you. Now, that was a compliment." But I learned a lot of stuff all during the years. And Dennis taught me. And not only Dennis, Ollie Wilson was with us at one time. Dio People was with us at one time. Richard Street was with us at one time. And I learned from all of them. Ex-Temptations. And Dennis would always tell me, pronounce your words, take your time when you're leading the song. Take your time, pronounce your words. And that sticks with me today.
Was Ollie Wilson with you all then?
Ollie Wilson was with us for about maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me tell him.
Candace.
Yes.
Yeah. Candace.
Yes.
I want to tell you a story about Chris. I saw Chris. He might not even remember this. I saw Chris in a nightclub. And he said, "Cliff, one day I'm going to bring the Temptation by your club." I had a club at the time called the Apartment Lounge. So about 12:30, I had ran out, and I was coming back to my club, wall-to-wall, about 4 o'clock license. And who's walking across the street but Chris and the Temptations? Remember that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's walking across the street coming to see me but the Temptations? And to show you how spiritual things are, when we walked in the club, my DJ was playing one of the Temptations numbers. And I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Temptations in the house." They say, "Cliff, get off that mic and stop that bullshit." And who walked out on the stage but the Temptations? Okay, so there's a lot of stories that I can tell about this city that I live in, this life that I've lived, you know. And once again, I just want to say thanks to Chris. And I'm going to let you ask him a couple of questions you might before we flip to the other end.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm
yes.
back. If you have any questions you
want to ask. I have a question for you. You said you are you still touring? You're touring? And things open up. I know the Christmas season is right around the corner, so do you have any tour dates or anything that you can tell us or tell the people so we'll know, you know, when to buy the tickets and where you're going to be?
Okay, I will know more later, but right now our manager is working on getting us more gigs now. Because of the COVID, as you know, everything was stopped. Even Vegas was down. So, but they're working on it now.
Damn.
And try to have something going by the end of the year, up starting say November, December, and they're working on a New Year's gig. I'll let Cliff know, and then we'll from New Year's on, we'll start working again at the beginning of next year, hopefully. So if this COVID,
well, I certainly hope so, because I would definitely like to, you know, attend one of your concerts. And I know my mother you know, my family members would love to come out. Florida, Atlanta. You know, we travel a lot. We'll even come up to Vegas for a show.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Just relay that to Clifton, and we'll definitely, you know, create a show and let everyone else know about where you're going to be performing. My second question is, you said they picked you. You were replacing. Who are you replacing out of the group again?
Eddie Kendricks. He did all the high notes and stuff.
How was that process, and how did that go about? What was the process like? Did you have to go in and sing for them? How many times? Who was in the room? You know, did you have to meet with the whole group?
Yes, I had to meet with the whole group, and we practiced. We were at a show, well, in a hotel the day before the show. And we were practicing and doing the Temptations songs. And the guys were teaching me the steps and the harmony, which I basically knew the harmony from all them years of singing locally, see, with my group. So that was a plus for me. And it just fit right in. And I was like, oh, man, I'm with Temptations. Oh, man, I was on cloud nine, to say the least. And that's how it all started. And they pulled me to the side and taught me what I need to know. And I was humble enough to learn, not big-headed, because I wanted to be in that position. And I was accepted really well by the group and by the audience, you know. So, and I thank God today for the opportunity. And Dennis would always, during the shows, he would always showcase the guys separately. He would say, I got a guy from Detroit, which was Mike. He had the bass. Then Mike was singing a few little notes. He said, I got a guy from Chicago. He said, now, you know, Eddie was a particular voice to try to replace. And that's how he would talk. And I got a guy from Chicago. And then he would just give me the microphone. Then I would break off into, can I have a talk with you? Can I make your dream come true? Can I be in love with you? 'Cause if I could. Now that was 180.
Come on, come on, come on.
All
right now. All right. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Okay.
Okay. A little rusty now, but we hadn't done it. We haven't done anything since February. But it'll be there. So, yeah. So, you got any more questions?
God, you made me. hold on, let me get back to my train of thought. I did. Let's see. Well then, I'm trying to. I tell you, it's just a pleasure to have you on the show tonight and to talk to you and meet with you. The Temptations is one of my favorite all-time groups. I still listen to them today. I would love to see you in person.
Oh yeah.
I mean that's it. You know, what came up to me was I can imagine how many people have made renditions of your song. Like Silent Night kind of reminds me of Lean on Me. The beat, the cadence of it. So I think it's an honor. It's an honor. Have you on the show? I'm just hey. Like really, really got me blushing. You got me blushing.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Thank you. That was lovely.
I'm looking forward to meeting you and your family. And like I said, I'll definitely let Cliff know when we get close to the city of Chicago again. You know, after this COVID thing passes over. And we're looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, likewise. I'll be there. Thank
okay.
you. Is there anything
Alrighty.
Else? We have callers.
You're
Wait
welcome.
Before you go. We do have callers. If you want to say something or just press one on your dial tone, and we will put you in queue. All right. And on that note, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. We're going to take
okay,
a little break. Okay.
Great.
Candace, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. All right, well, go ahead with your next question. You're tuned in to the callers. You are tuned in to the Justice Chicago Neighborhood Talk Show with Clifton Pierce out of Chicago. We are live and full effect. We just spoke with Arnold from the Temptations, Chris Arnold from the Temptations, the Dennis Edward Temptations Review. He just serenaded us tonight. And, Kristen, take it over. You got the board, sir.
Hello.
Yes. You're live on the air. Can you hear me? Hello.
Somebody's calling me.
Candace, repeat that question for them, Candace.
Oh, I didn't have a question. I just made a comment. I said, you know, you're live, and Clifton, take it. Take the baton. You are live, and you're doing a wonderful job. Callers, if you want to say anything, press 1 on the dial tone, and I will put you in queue to speak.
Okay.
Hi, Candace. Are there questions we got? Okay.
Let's see. Hi. No, we don't. We don't have a question. 1 second.
So we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back at him.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Hey. Y'all back.
Hello.
Clifton. Yes, right. Hello. Hello.
Yes, how are you, honey? Yes, how'd you enjoy that, huh?
I loved it. Thank you. That was a perfect way to spend the Sunday evening. Perfect way.
Right.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Well, you know, another thing I want to talk about before we get out of here. First of all, let me let the people know that the Canon Media Group, which consists of yourself, Shelly, and the big boss lady man himself, we're going to be coming to the 50-yard line October 4th. We're doing a book signing. Candace herself, that's my co-host there, she has written a book called Dreamland. I got about five or six people reading the book, and they all giving me all these different reviews on the book. So I'm just listening myself. I don't want to give an opinion myself, but their book, from what they're telling me, is the most interesting book they've read in quite a while. So October 4th, they're coming to Chicago, and we're going to be at the 50-yard line there on 75th Street. It's going to be on a Saturday afternoon from 3 until 6. So those of you that want to attend the affair, call me, call the 50-yard line, call Linda. Those of you know, Linda's the barmaid at the 50-yard line, and let her know to reserve your seat for you. All you have to do is wear a mask. Everything is going to be free, and we're going to have a little few something for you to eat and everything. But the bottom line, Hollywood is coming to Chicago, and that's through the Nick Cannon Media Foundation. So I want everybody to be involved with that. When ANA artists, Incorporated. So that's October 4th. Let me tell you something else. You know, my hobby is knowledge. I don't golf. I don't do this. I don't do that. My hobby is knowledge. And this week I learned something that I didn't know before. Back in the slavery days, they had a term called buck busting. Okay, buck busting was back in the day, they called all black men bucks to begin with. But buck busting was when you had a black male who would not go along with the slavery rules. And so what they would do, they would take this guy out. Are you listening to me, Candace?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I want to say this
that
again.
Is awful.
They would take this rebellious buck, black, out, and they would sodomize him in front of his family and other slaves. I'm talking about actually have sex with him to break him down mentally. Do you hear what I say? Okay, break him down mentally so he can be controlled. Woody Lynch still lives today. And the point I'm trying to say here is that with these killings going on over with black people and these police and everything, recently they interviewed Terrell Owens and LeBron James, and both of them made a statement that I have a problem with. And the statement that they made was that when the police get behind them, they get nervous. They get scared. Okay? That's a subliminal situation there, because what you're telling my black boys is that you got LeBron James and you got a Terrell Owens, 6'3", 6'5", 300 pounds, running up and down the court 100 miles an hour, yet they scared of the police. What they going to do but not be scared of them, because LeBron and them scared of them. Careful what you say, because you're subliminally putting a message in our young black boys' mind to be afraid of the police. Okay? So you have to be careful what you say. You lead by example. And here's another thing. The Montgomery boycott worked because we took money out of the mouths of them people by not riding that bus. That's when they came to the table and made it possible for us to participate in some of the things that are going on. And the point I'm trying to say, LeBron James and the rest of you NBA ball players, y'all had the bull by the horn when y'all called for that boycott. Not only did you call for a boycott, you understand, for your basketball game, but baseball, soccer, everybody joined in on that. That was a time right there to hit him where he hurts the most, and that's in his pocket. And you all called Barack Obama in. I say it again. You all called Barack Obama in, and the next day he told y'all to go back to work. I got a problem with that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, help thyself. Help thyself. We're a nation of consumers. We would be 13th in the world in buying power if blacks were to get together and just put all their money together and buy. We buy the best cars. We buy the best clothes. We buy the best alcohol. We buy the best jewelry. And we manufacture nothing. I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Yes, I have a problem with that. And I can't help but saying that. I have a problem with that. The white man's ice is not colder than a black man's ice. It ain't that happening like that. Buy a car from your people. Find a black person that sells a car. Find a black person that has a restaurant. On October 4th, the Nick Cannon Media Group is coming to Chicago. Okay, Nick Cannon is part of the national reparations situation. How dare we live anywhere but there's a black man in Chicago who has a hotel downtown. How dare you live anywhere but there in his hotel? If you're going to rent a car, find a black company that rents cars. You want to eat in a restaurant, find a black restaurant to eat in. And I'm going to say one thing before I get out here, too. You churches, you're getting all this money. You're getting all this tithe money. Every Sunday, you collect all this money and then go take it to a white bank that won't loan you a dime. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. If this show never comes on again, I want y'all to know, if when you're not spending money with your own people, I got a problem with you. Candace, you want to close us out?
He said it. He said it. Tune in to our show next Sunday, same time, same place, for Justice Chicago, Clifton Pierce, Neighborhood Talk Show host. Good night, everybody.
And we just want to say, wake up, everybody. Good night, baby.
Hey, how are
you doing? That's right. They never had that. They never had that. What entertainment, you know? You sat down,
wake up.
And kicked it with
it's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Cannon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Of you crying.
Hey.
Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in. Father, father, we don't need you. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love into the world. Take it back. Take it back. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me, honey, so you can see. I'm
Trying to get me to take the something